This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. Have you ever been let down by a leader? An individual you look up to has disappointed you? Today I want to talk about the topic, human leaders are both. That is, they are both humans and they are leaders. This is the 15th episode of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. So glad you found us. And speaking about leaders making mistakes, make one mistake. Okay, two mistakes, and you definitely hear about it. Over the last several episodes, for some reason, I've called this podcast Unhurried. I've called it Unfinished, and I didn't catch it, and so it was published that way, but I heard about it from you. You guys were quick to tell me I called it the wrong thing, and so it just proves the point. You know, we're all human, right? We all make mistakes, but hopefully this podcast Unhurried is, in fact, also Unfinished. Lord willing, there's lots more ahead, as we're just into the early episodes here, 15. Now, 14 behind us is the 15th, and I'm so glad that you found us and that you're with us today. So I want to get into the idea that human leaders are both. That is, they're both human and leaders, and they let you down, that they can be frail. And we see that pretty vividly in the passage that we looked at last Sunday. But that's part of a broader series that we're covering right now in the book of Galatians, which is entitled Losing My Religion in Exchange for a Vibrant Faith. And what we're trying to do is I'm trying to pit the idea of religion with a real authentic relationship with Christ and to see them as opposed to one another, and how easy it is for us to relapse into a religious mindset rather than purely understanding our relationship with God based on the grace that we received in Jesus Christ. So this series, Losing My Religion, we're hoping to shed that mindset, to let go of it and to really embrace the vital relationship that Christ has for us with grace. Religion being sort of this man-made structure characterized by rules and regulations, formed without real substance, and faith being defined as this life-transforming, destiny-changing, tangible experience with Jesus Christ as His life is filling our lives, and we live with Him and for Him. Now, sometimes I think people think that the reason that they are tempted to fall into a religious mindset to understand their faith in view of rules and regulations is because they grew up that way, and that they were at an early age exposed to a do and don't religion, a very rule-oriented approach to their faith. And yet I shared on Sunday morning that I did not grow up in a Christian family, did not grow up going to church, and yet still I find in myself this tendency to fall back into religion. I don't feel like it has to do so much with our upbringing as it has to do with just the human nature. We by nature want to operate in our relationship with God based on duty rather than privilege, rather than His grace. And so it's just something that we easily fall back into. It's something we easily relapse into, whether we had a religious upbringing or not. I mean, if you think about it, the book that we're talking about in this series, the book of Galatians, the Galatian believers were not religious growing up, and yet they were the very ones that were so prone to adopt this rule-oriented religion. They had come to faith in Christ in such an amazing and liberating way, and then over time they slowly became more and more rule-oriented and religious in a negative sense rather than free in Christ. This becomes very obvious when we get to Galatians chapter 2, where we discover that Peter and Paul have a face-to-face confrontation, a very serious conflict that's recorded in Scripture so that every Christian ever since has been aware of this. This wasn't just a private thing that happened between the two of them and no one knew about. It's something that Paul wrote about in Galatians, and now we all know about it as well. And I guess it's kind of eye-opening. It's a little bit surprising to see that these two revered figures, the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul, did not agree, but they actually came head-to-head on this. But I think it's important for us to see, and it really demonstrates this point, first of all, how important understanding grace is over rules and regulations and religion, and secondly, to realize that, you know, even human leaders can be wrong. Even someone like the Apostle Peter, who is a champion of our faith and wrote, you know, several books of the Bible, is someone that it could be wrong and was wrong, and Paul had to address it directly in Galatians chapter 2. I don't know, maybe it catches us off guard when in Galatians 2:11, Paul talks about how when Peter came to Antioch that he opposed him to his face because in Paul's words, he stood condemned. A few verses later, he said that Peter was not acting in the truth of the gospel, and he had to directly rebuke him for that behavior. And as the story goes on, you realize that there's a serious conflict between Peter and Paul. And in the end, Paul's way is the right way. Paul was the one who was in that moment seeing things clearly, that it really was about God's grace towards us and not about us somehow winning our righteous standing before God. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, that God has done that fully and completely for us. That's the truth of the gospel. And that's what Paul was wanting to make crystal clear, and where Peter had fallen into a little bit of a skewed thinking in that area. And so I think it's so interesting that this is included in the pages of Scripture. It's as if God wants us to know right from the start that human leaders are just that, they're human as well as leaders. And even Peter had this period of time where he really fell back into a much more of a religious mindset rather than fully expressing and conveying the grace that he had received by Christ and he wanted others to receive as well. I feel like it would spare us so much heartache and so much pain if we just realized that at the front end, that human leaders are going to eventually let us down, because all people let us down. All people are people. All humans are human. And none of us are perfect apart from Christ. And because of that, there's flaws and there's blind spots and there's weaknesses and there's growth areas in every single leader. Over the years, I've talked to so many people who have really been disappointed, and sometimes that disappointment had led to a kind of a spiritual backstabbing. You know, they really fall back in their spiritual life because they were let down by a human leader. So again, I find it so interesting that God included this in the pages of Scripture for us to know about this conflict between Paul and Peter, where Peter really had gone off track from the truth of the gospel. But I also think it's interesting that Paul gets to tell the story and Peter doesn't. Did you ever wonder what Peter's side of the story was? Do you wonder how he would talk about it? I've thought about this sometimes. What if we could interview Peter? What if you know, last week I had a chance on this podcast to interview Ryan, which really went well. Ryan, who's kind of he's a worship leader at our church, but he also has helped so much behind the scenes with the podcast. And I had a chance to interview him, and it was really fun to have you get to know him a little bit more and his heart for this podcast. And afterwards, we came away going, that was great. I want to do some more interviews. Interviews are really kind of a fun little add to our podcast experience. But what if I could interview the Apostle Peter? What if we could somehow bring him back in time and he would sit down on the chair next to me and I would talk to him? What would he say about this situation? I might say, okay, Peter, Paul said this in Galatians 2. He said he had to confront you. He said you were wrong. What's your side of the story? I wonder what Peter might say. Well, I think, first of all, if that happened, Peter would have a few things to say to me. Peter would say, Doug, you've been kind of hard on me in your messages over the years. Why is it that I'm always the impetuous, you know, foot and mouth, speak before I think individual? You're always kind of pointing out all the times that I mess up in your stories. And then he would tell me that he would remind me that he also got to walk on water with Jesus. And have I ever walked on water? It's not as easy as it looks. So I would probably begin with apologizing to him, as he pointed out that I've probably maybe emphasized one side of his personality a little bit too much. But then I would press a little harder and say, but Paul was a little hard on you as well, wasn't he? Didn't Paul kind of point out your failing and your blind spot? Maybe that's a nice way to put it. Your error in Galatians chapter 2. And I think he would remind me that he knew that was true, that Paul was right and that he was wrong. I think Peter would tell me about the vision that he had that God gave him, where God made it very clear that it was all about faith in Christ and not about all these dietary restrictions that he was kind of falling back into in a rule-oriented approach to religion rather than faith in Christ. But he would also tell me, and he would remind me, he said, have you read the end of the Bible? Have you read my letters near the end of the New Testament? Because there, if you read 2 Peter, at the end, you realize that that Peter really did come around. Let me just read to you here a little bit what I find here at the end of 2 Peter. He writes about Paul in that passage. And you say, okay, is he going to get back at Paul? Well, he says this in 2 Peter 3:15. He says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. So I love that Peter, several years later, is now reflecting back and really speaking about Paul's writings and what we now call the parts of the New Testament as God's wisdom that God gave him. And then he ends his letter this way. Peter does. He ends by saying, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's awesome because it was for Peter, it was also all about grace. We think of Paul as the apostle of grace, but Peter was the same way. It was all about grace. In fact, the word grace appears in every chapter of 1 Peter, his first letter. And so we're hoping that we will learn that lesson just like Peter did, that really in the end, it's all about grace. And he had to grow, he had to develop, he had to change, he had to be transformed through that process, as all leaders do. And along the way, it should lead us to teach and emphasize grace more because we ourselves have had to experience God's grace more as well. And of course, Peter wasn't the only one that had to grow and develop and be corrected by the Lord and be brought back on track and develop in his understanding of the truth and the way that he would express that. At the very beginning of Galatians, we see that Paul had that same experience. I didn't have a chance to go into it on Sunday morning, although someone asked me about it afterwards. But it's very interesting. The beginning of chapter 2 of Galatians, Paul just simply mentions, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem. And we don't know very much at all about those 14 years. He's talking about the 14 years between his conversion and really the time that he began to step more deeply into ministry and serving the Lord and led to his missionary trips and planting many churches and ultimately writing much of the New Testament. But what happened in those 14 years? And I don't miss this. Paul spent 14 years learning, growing, maturing as a believer. 14 years. I mean, it's so easy for us to get impatient and feel like we just need to be ready immediately and we should, you know, out of the chute, be ready to go. We want to be transformed in 14 days, not 14 years. We expect to be spiritually all together. After all, it's been a couple months. Let's go. Let's get out there. And I think one of the reasons that Paul escaped some of this, Peter didn't, is because Paul really did take that time to learn and mature and to grow. And growth takes time. It takes years, not days. And we must never despise or undervalue the time of preparation in spiritual development. I can imagine, you know, people back then saying to Paul, "Hey, get out there. We need you on the front line. Christianity is so fragile. You have this dramatic testimony, this dramatic conversion. Get out there and start preaching." And Paul did serve the Lord right away and was involved in ministry early on, but much of it happened later on in his life, after he had these years of preparation and this time of growth. And I believe that one of the reasons that Paul was so effective was that he didn't shortcut his spiritual growth. And it wasn't that Paul was perfect either. In the book of Acts, we realize that Paul had some shortcomings, some things that he needed to address, some things that God was working on in his life as well as he was growing and maturing, even as he was a leader. And so the bottom line for all of us is to realize that human leaders are, in fact, human. And while we can learn a lot from them, we can grow a lot from them, in the end, our eyes and our focus need to be on Jesus Christ as the ultimate leader and head of our faith, the one who guides and leads and directs us. And let our trust and confidence be in him, because he will never let us down. Now, I do think you do learn a lot and you do get a lot from leaders. We do, and I wouldn't be doing what I do if I didn't believe that. But in the end, a leader's job is to be more like John the Baptist, who said about Jesus, "He must become greater, I must become less." And our goal is to focus people and direct their attention to Jesus. And our job as followers, and all of us are probably a combination of leaders and followers, our job as followers is to learn what we can from spiritual leaders, but always keep our focus and our attention, our loyalty and our allegiance to Jesus Christ as our ultimate leader, the ultimate shepherd of our lives. Well, I hope this has been helpful to you. Let me give you some of our contact information here. This podcast follows the messages that I give on Sunday morning at Green Valley Church in San Diego. If you'd like to hear those messages as well, you can find them at Green Valley Church Podcast, which you can get anywhere you get your podcasts. Also, if you'd like to send me a message, and I'd love to hear from you, I'd love to hear also, other than that I said unfinished rather than unhurried, although tell me that too. If I make a mistake again, let me know. I'm sure I'll hear about it. But even if you're listening for other reasons or there's other things that connect with you, I'd love to hear from it. You can always email me at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com. Love to know where you're listening from and what you're getting out of it. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, could you give it 5 stars, a review that on wherever you listen to it? That will help so much as well. Well, again, nice to have this unhurried time together. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.